reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is coming to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, I charge you to preach the word, to stay with this task, whether convenient or inconvenient, correcting, reproving, appealing, constantly teaching, and never losing patience. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires, will surround themselves with teachers who tickle their ears. They will stop listening to the truth and will wander off to fables. As for you, be steady and self-possessed. Put up with hardship. Perform your work as an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But what if salt goes flat? How can you restore its flavor? Then it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Men do not light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. They set it on a stand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before men so that they may see goodness in your acts and give praise to your heavenly Father." Verbum Domini. St. Timothy was urged in our first reading today by St. Paul to preach the word and to stay with that task, whether convenient or inconvenient, correcting, reproving, appealing, constantly teaching, and never losing patience. St. Paul was very well aware of the threat of false teaching and how important it was to confront error with the truth of the gospel, regardless of whether people would accept the message of the gospel or not. There's a task given, not to preach what people want to hear, but what they need to hear, the saving truths of the gospel. And St. Paul warns that the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires, as he says. They'll surround themselves with teachers who tickle their ears and again tell them what they want to hear. But St. Paul strongly encourages Timothy to remain faithful in preaching the truth of the gospel and putting up with hardship. And St. Paul was not using empty words, because when he's writing this second letter to Timothy, he is in prison. He's imprisoned in Rome, and he's awaiting his execution. He's about to be martyred. So he could say very convincingly and with great conviction right after these words of telling Timothy to preach the gospel, whether convenient or inconvenient, he then says to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." And St. Dominic, who we celebrate today, and as Franciscans refer to him as our Holy Father, St. Dominic, he generously responded to this call to preach the truths of the gospel, whether convenient or inconvenient, to preach the gospel at all costs. And he was born in the year 1170 into a family of nobility in Spain. And besides his own life of heroic virtue, he also had the joy of growing up with two other particularly virtuous people in his own family, as his mother and his brother would also later be beatified. And Dominic heeded the call from God to become a priest, and he also originally was a member of the Augustinian canons. And it was during that time that he came into contact with the Albigensian heresy, which was doing great harm in southern France and was spreading rapidly. This heresy promoted the idea that material things were evil, including the body. So as a result of this, the sacraments were rejected. The teaching authority of the church was rejected. Suicide was promoted. If the body is bad, there's no good in the human body. And marriage was scorned. So for one who embraced this heresy of Albigensianism, it could not be accepted that God would take on a human nature in Christ and suffer and die to redeem us. So in order to combat this heresy, Dominic and his bishop, they traveled on foot to preach the truths of the gospel. And after having spent a good amount of time and energy in preaching to confront this widespread heresy, St. Dominic decided it was time he needed to make a retreat. He needed to pray intensely to beg God for the grace that he needed to lead people out of error to the truths of the faith. It's said that after 3 days of prayer, the Blessed Mother said to him, "Wonder not that until now you have obtained so little fruit by your labors. You have spent them on a barren soil, not yet watered with the dew of divine grace. When God willed to renew the face of the earth, he began by sending down on it the fertilizing rain of the angelic salutation, which is the first half of the Hail Mary, right, that we hear at the Annunciation. And then she told him, "Preach my Psalter." Her Psalter was the Holy Rosary. And she said that it would produce an abundant harvest. And this is what St. Dominic did. St. Louis de Montfort, who was also greatly devoted to Our Lady and to the Holy Rosary, he wrote that the Rosary was St. Dominic's preparation for every sermon. And this produced much fruit. St. Dominic was able to bring back many souls who were steeped in error. One writer summed it up this way, saying that it was by means of the life story of Jesus, preached and prayed in the mysteries of the Rosary, that St. Dominic taught the great truths of salvation. And the Rosary is simply that. It's a meditation on the incarnation, on the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. And it directly confronted the errors of the Albigensians, again, who had problems with the idea of God taking on a true human nature in Christ and really suffering for our redemption. St. Dominic would go on to found a cloistered community of nuns and later on was joined by other men who had become his brother friars. This order of preachers, as they were known, approved by the Pope, would follow the rule of St. Augustine as they carried out their apostolate and the mission of saving souls, particularly through preaching. They were also heavily engaged in the study of sacred truth. So Dominic had this great passion for study and would often encourage his friars to study. That was part of their life, right? To study, to learn the faith, to know it well, to be able to hand it on to others. And there was this bond between study and preaching as the friars again worked for the salvation of souls. Study was needed to confront error, to confront heresy, and to clearly preach the truths of the faith. So the friars would study, they would preach, and they would pray, certainly. And a favorite source of study for Dominic was sacred scripture. And it's said that Dominic always carried the Gospel of St. Matthew with him, and that he studied the epistles of St. Paul until he knew them almost entirely by heart. Now, one of the most well-known Dominicans, one of the most well-known Dominican friars is St. Thomas Aquinas, and he would write in his famous Summa Theologiae about how to give others the fruits of your contemplation. And he referenced Psalm 145, which states that on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Men shall proclaim the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Right? So it's meditating upon the truths revealed by God, and meditation leads to contemplation, beholding God, beholding the truths of what he has revealed, and then proclaiming them, handing them on to others. So the friars would proclaim and hand on the fruits of their contemplation for the spiritual benefit of others. Again, it's to lead them to salvation, to lead them to Christ. St. Dominic would later become gravely ill on one of his preaching missions, but before his death, he said to his friars, "I will be of greater use to you and will help you more powerfully after my death than I could do during my life." Right? We believe in the powerful intercession of the saints in heaven. I'm reminded by St. James, who wrote in his letter that the prayer of the righteous has great power in its effects. Before concluding, I just want to remark about the Lord's words in the gospel today, that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Again, this is addressed to all of us who follow Christ. And salt not only flavors food, but it's also used to preserve. As followers of Christ, we are called to preserve goodness in the world. But our Lord also gives us a warning. He says, if salt loses its taste, it's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So how do we lose our taste? By being separated from Christ through sin. So we need to keep that union with Christ by striving to live daily in a state of grace, by praying every day, making regular use of the sacraments, and by carrying out works of charity and mercy. And Christ tells us that we must let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Heavenly Father. And our good deeds and works are a visible means to help draw others closer to God, right? We carry out works of charity, not so that others might praise us or that others might think that we're holy. We do them for the glory of God, for the love of God. St. Paul reminds us to do all things for the glory of God. We ask the intercession of St. Dominic today to pray for us that we might be salt and light and have a great zeal for studying the truths of sacred scripture and our faith, and that by devotion to Our Lady and the Holy Rosary, we may also bear much fruit in leading others to a deeper union with Christ.